glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, May 11th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. We're visiting today with my daughter, Rebecca Leland. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hello, so glad to be back on.
Yeah, so glad to have you. And you've got an interesting opportunity coming up, and you'll be speaking to the young women, and this is at the Illinois Christian Home Educators Young Adult Conference. This is going to be held in Carroll Stream in November, and we enjoyed that affiliation, didn't we, Rebecca, as you were growing up? We homeschooled you and are the other siblings. And, you know, Illinois Christian Home Educators, they were just there. They have a fantastic conference in Chicago and also in Southern Illinois. Yeah. They've got it at both ends. And then they also try to reach out and do things with young adults. And, you know, they are all in touch with the legal situation in our state. So really, if you're thinking about homeschooling, I cannot recommend them enough. Connect to them. Illinois Christian Home Educators, and they have got a lot of resources. But yeah, you're going to be talking to them, and I just thought you'd give them a little bit of a teaser as to what your talk will be, because it really stirred something in my heart whenever you began to share it with me. So what is the basic premise?
Yeah, so when I was approached, they said, hey, we're going to have a split off time where a woman speaker speaks to the women and a guy speaks to the guys. And would you be willing? And would you have something to share? And I thought, oh, would I have something to share? Yes. Like this is my niche. So as I thought about what I would like encouragement in, so it's a bit of a selfish, ambition as well. What do I want to study? What do I want to seek scripture for? Not wasting the wasting away hit my heart and stuck there. So the idea that we, from the moment of birth, are moving toward death, and we only have a short amount of time. It says in scripture, it's a blink of an eye for God, the amount of time we have on this earth. And what does it look like not to waste it? And specifically when it comes to young women, especially in their 20s and 30s, I think we can feel a little lost, especially if our life is not lining up with the life that we thought slash the life that we want God to give us. And that can look being unmarried. That can be look like being in a marriage and it's a lot harder than you thought it was going to be. It can look like not having the job you want. And just it can look like life being mundane and almost living for the world standard of success and not God's. So my whole talk, Lord willing, is going to help center that Christian woman on finding what God's will for this season of her life would be, her 20s and 30s. It brought the Bible verse, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this got me to the idea of wasting your life can look very successful to the world. So I came up with this foolproof plan on how to make sure you're not wasting your life, first and foremost, right? Are you ready?
Give it to us.
I asked April, my sister, your daughter, I said, hey, so like, listen to this sentence and does it fit? And I said, our dad wasted his life serving and protecting the people of Chicago as a police officer. He wasted his life in a committed marriage to our mother. He wasted his life raising four children in the Bible. Does that fit? And she literally almost didn't let me finish the sentence. And she said, absolutely not. Like, I can't believe you would even say that. And I said, exactly. As believers, we need to make sure that our life and our mission cannot fit in the sentence, I wasted my life. But really, the world can put that in. The world can say, I wasted my life pursuing a career that was not specifically God-honoring. I wasted my life never knowing God and making him known. And it's easy to fall into the trap that the world has, which is get a good career, make it to the top, and make your life look great, and pursue worldly pleasures. I wasted my life getting an amazing mansion, but I'm not going to bring it to heaven. I wasted my life pursuing relationships that aren't God-honoring. It's very easy to fall into that trap. So my goal is to just help women figure out how to not wasting their life. Don't waste the wasting away. We are all there's going to be a day where we face Jesus. And I pray that I can help myself through this study and other women not waste that time. So when we stand before God, he can look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did not waste the blink of an eye that I gave you, but you used it to specifically know me and make me known. And so that's the goal of the talk.
You know, think of also that verse back, and it says, though outwardly we are perishing, which is wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So yeah, we are wasting away. Every minute of every day, our cells are having a harder time replicating. So yeah, that wasting away is at a cellular level, and our little chromosomes are unraveling. And what's that little thing at the end of your chromosome?
That telomeres.
Telomeres. They are there, and they're getting shorter and shorter.
Yep.
So yeah, every day we are wasting away. But I like what you said. Are we wasting that?
Yeah.
And that's our good question.
And I guess today I would love to pick your brain, because as I was thinking through this, I was like, hey, I have a mother who did not waste her 20s and 30s, which I would say looked a little different than I think the world's standard for your 20s and 30s. So can we talk about that a little bit? What did your 20s look like? What did God kind of bring you through?
So in my 20s, I was in college until I was 22. And I was not saved. But at 22, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And I got a job at a Christian radio station. And so I began to pursue that. I had to leave that station because theologically, they were off. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And so then I jumped over into mission work. I worked for Mel Trotter Rescue Ministries in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I spent, you know, a good 4.5 years there ministering to the women that came in, giving them clothing for their kids, sharing the gospel, and giving them food. And then I just sensed I needed to go to Bible school. And partly because I knew there would be quality men at Bible school.
Amen.
So I'm just putting it out there. There were ulterior motives. And yet, I did want to study God's word, and I knew I needed to get grounded. And so I went there and target-rich environment, but nothing materialized. I was there a year. My dad then ended up leaving my mother when I was 26, and I just felt called to go back in and be a part of her divorce recovery in her home. And so I moved back home, and I was there about 2 years. And I just felt like, you know, and in that time period, I then got a job at a Christian radio station in Muskegon. So I was still doing Christian radio, hanging out with mom, going to church, you know, still going to the singles groups, even helped lead a singles group. But yeah, God was just not bringing about Mr. Right.
Yeah.
And I just had to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be with Mr. Wrong.
Amen.
And so I just kept, you know, hanging in there, and it was fun. I mean, I had friends and I loved my job. And so, but when I was 28, I just felt the Lord, because the other Christian radio station I was working at began to be theologically off.
Wow.
So I just couldn't do it anymore. I just can't do it. So the Lord just said, you know, you can go to Moody, and got a job at Moody. So I was 28. You know, and again, Mr. Wright had not shown up.
Yeah.
But I was going forward, and I love my job at Moody.
Yeah.
And, you know, had friends, and just, you know, did the everyday.
Yeah.
Got involved in church, did a little cute Sunday school time, hung out with kids, tried to build into them, build into their families, just made connections. And you know, it was good. And then when I was 32, so, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of friends getting married in between there.
Yeah.
In that little season. But I did have a solid group of over 30 age friends. And
wow.
Yeah. There was like 4 or 5 of us who were hanging
from
in
church.
There. Yeah. Hanging in there, waiting for Mr. Wright, not going to settle.
Amen.
And so that's our goal, was not to settle. So, but finally, you know, Tom showed up. I'm like, where have you been? No, no, it was, he showed up at church. And the reason why I went to this little church was because I was tired of, you know, looking for guys at Moody Church.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just so done. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to go to some little church.
Oh my goodness.
Get involved and stop this, you know, going to singles and anything. I was just done.
Yeah.
Go to the little church. And sure enough, he had gone away for a year to help start up a company. Then he came back and I'm like, okay.
And I love too, like dad's, maybe you should have dad on here sometime too, but even his story of God was also preparing him. And throughout his 20s, God was also using him in ministry and doing things. And it was not time for you two to become one and to start doing ministry together. He had very specific ministries for you both, which I just think is so cool.
Yeah, he ministered a lot to his family. He was a huge part of the athletic
basketball
ministry.
Yeah.
And he just was, you know, spending his time wisely as a young man, getting an education. He didn't get his degree until 28. You know, it was just the Lord's direction. But in the midst of it, you've got to hang on and say, nope, I'm not going to just give in and settle.
Well, I guess, so my question would be, so a young believer in your 20s, it's so interesting that you were finding false theology, even though you were such a young believer. So it's kind of, I guess, shocking to those groups that you, as such a young believer, were leaving jobs because you're like, hey, I can't do this false theology. How was it like being a young believer, a single young believer, wanting to be married, wanting to follow God's will for your life, but in that waiting? I guess, like, do you have any advice for people who are just kind of like, obviously, for like, you can look back and be like, okay, you know, here are some lessons that I could take away and I would have maybe told my younger self back then.
I tried to always wrestle my brain and to say, my value and my worth is not determined by anyone else other than the Lord Jesus. You know, that was critical. You have to really get your brain, because this society is just lying to us.
Yep.
Your value and your worth is if someone else sees value and worth in you, but that's a lie.
Yep.
So I just had to stay strong and say, you know what, Lord, I don't care. I'm just going to keep going forward, doing what I do and being pleasing to you. So it's just so hard. And I say, you know, stay active in your church, get involved in your church.
Amen.
And get involved with older people and people who have gone around the block a few times, and also get involved with younger people and be a part of the whole body of Christ and not just a singles group. You know, singles groups are great. They do provide a target-rich environment in which you could find a mate, and that's okay. And that's healthy. You know, back in the day, they had square dancing and socials and all kind of things for people to meet each other. That's wonderful. But, you know, if it's not happening, that's okay. And just stay happy in the Lord.
Amen. And then my other question is, how did God lead you to the ministries that you did do? And it's very interesting. I love to hear you weren't there for years and years and years. Like, a lot of these ministries, you kind of went in, were there for like 4 years and left. And that's super interesting. And that's definitely something that would give some 20 somethings a heart attack to hear now, because we're raised up by the world to be at 18, you figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You graduate from college, then you do that thing for the rest of your life as a career. So how did that kind of play into your relationship with God, and how did he bring you to those different ministries?
I love my radio. I love doing it. But there really at that point wasn't another station that I felt called to. So that's when I jumped into, you know, inner city rescue ministries, just began to do it with the people there. And they were quality people, the people I was involved in. And they really encouraged me, got involved in a Bible study. And I liked the Bible study leader, truth be told. That turned out really good in that he didn't like me back. I mean, you know, in the Lord, you know, I look back and say, that is one of those things I thank God for, that he made the choice.
Yep.
And that's fine. Yep. And I just, I'm so grateful that, you know, God helped me allow the Lord to make the choice for me. So I'm giving thanks for things God did not give me.
Wow. Amen. I saw a quote recently that said something to that effect. Like, we're going to look back and thank God for the prayers he didn't answer.
Yes.
And didn't answer, I guess, with a yes, right? Because he's answering. And sometimes God answers yes. Sometimes he answers no. And sometimes he answers wait. And what I also love that you said once to me is that, like, all the different guys that you were attracted to throughout your 20s and even younger, they had characteristics that dad has, but dad has them all. And that's something, like, you said, and I was like, oh my goodness, I love that. So whenever I like a guy, I look at him, I'm thinking, okay, either he's the one, obviously, or what God has for me is going to be better because he's going to have all these characteristics and more, kind of a thing. So I just love that the encouragement there was the things that you like in a guy. Yeah, you're supposed to like those things. Like, that's great. Like, it's in you. God gave you those desires for a godly husband, a leader. But this guy might not be the one, but he might be like a prototype. Like, he might be, oh yeah, you're going to like a guy like that, but it's not going to be this guy. So it kind of gave me some hope. You know what I mean?
I look back on all the guys I was attracted to. And they were kind. They were really kind and they were gentle. And they were great leaders and they cared about people. They weren't real loud and over the top. No, they were, it was just quiet power and very quiet strength. Because
I'm so specific.
because I'm so loud.
See, I'm the opposite. I like the quiet guys. I feel like I'm gonna like break them. So I like the loud guys.
You know, I guess if I could go back, another thing about my 20s would be I really would stop seeing everyone my age that wasn't attached as a potential and,
Wow.
you know, assess their value and their worth as to whether or not, you know, it would make a good match.
Wow.
And yeah, I would redo that and just see them as people.
Yep.
And see them as a brother in the Lord.
Wow.
And, you know, they have value and they have worth.
Yep.
And to be friends, to build them up. And I think that's the key, is just
Yep.
see people as, you know, friends in the Lord.
Yep.
And yeah, you might be attracted to them. They might have some of the qualities, but
Yep.
just keep saying, Lord, thy will be done.
Wow.
Thy will be done. So hold tight to that, you know, in this season.
Wow. That which is so much harder said than done. And I think actually I was praying about this recently. Even the guys in my church, I'm like, God, let me see them just as friends. Like, let me just, you know, even though I want marriage and that's something I desire. And what kind of he brought to my mind is the idea that if you are being filled with God's love, you are less likely to be looking to all the men that you see as potential mates because you're filled. If you are hungry, everything looks good. If you are filled, you look at things through a different light. So it's kind of going shopping when you're starving. You buy all of these things that later on you're like, why did I buy that? Kind of a thing. So, like, God just is like, get in the word, get in me. Like, be so in love with my love for you that you are feeling filled in the love category, so that when you do see these men at church or in life, you can just see them as relationships, as friendships. And if God wants that man to pursue you, he will. It's God's will. It's God's will. Like, there's no stepping out of that. And that way, as women, we're not seeking that validation, that love, that companionship when it's not meant to be, when it's not the time. You're not awaking love before it's time. And I think that is, again, so much harder said than done because as women, we have these desires and they're good desires. They're the desires that God's given us, right? Like, men and women. And like the first commandment was to go be fruitful and multiply. Like, this is something we want. But what are we being filled with now? Are we seeking man's approval and his love, or are we going to seek God's? And I think, again, when it comes back to the world cannot seek God's love because they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. All they have is relationships. So no wonder this world is striving and seeking and posting everywhere and telling you need validation from other people because that's their rubric. That's all they have. The highest form of earthly love is a man and a woman or two people. The highest form of love we have is our love coming from the Creator. So we need to tap into that as Christian single women. We have a superpower that we often forget to use, and that's Christ's love for us. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the knowledge of how much he loves us, and knowing that we're enough, not because, hey girl, you're enough, and like you do you boo-boo kind of a theology, But it's that you're enough because I said you're enough. You're enough because I died for you and I want a relationship with you. And the more that we are in that and the more that we believe that, I think the more we live it out and the more that instead of walking around being like, okay, I'm shopping for a mate, it can be, I'm walking around, I'm living the life that God has for me. And if a guy wants to come up and he sees the fruit in me and he wants a wife that just loves God, he can. But until that time, I'm not going to be worrying about it. I'm going to be in Christ.
Good word. And I also were thinking, be the person that you want to attract. You know, you want someone filled with the Spirit. You want someone not just seeing you for what they can get out of you. You want someone who loves the Lord. And Amen. I think like attracts like, my friend.
Amen.
So that you will never go wrong, I think, with that advice. Yes.
Well, oh, I love that.
Well, thanks again, Rebecca, for sharing your heart and your season of life. And we're excited about you having that opportunity. Tell us a little bit about it if others would be interested in joining. And again, you don't have to be homeschooled in order to go to this young adult event.
Yes. So it's going to be November 11th. It's going to be at Fellowship Church of Carroll Stream. It's going to be from the morning, I think around 8 o'clock to 8 at night. They also have really fun volleyball at the end of it. But again, yeah, you don't, it's put on by ICHE, Illinois Christian Home Educators. But anyone can come. If you're 20s and 30s, you're seeking God, it's a time of refreshment. It's a time of encouragement. It's a time to gather with other believers. And even if in the future you're thinking about maybe homeschooling, definitely come and just be around people who kind of went through it and came out the other end, functioning adults. So it's going to be a really good time. I'm looking forward to it so much. I was able to attend it in the years past. I got so much out of it. And I'm really looking forward to sharing with the women just what God wants them to hear, which is let's not waste the wasting away.
I like that. All right. Bless you, my dear. And we'll be chatting soon.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Coming up tomorrow, it's a Friday, and that means Pastor Jason Schiffo is going to share his Bible study with us. It's recorded in a group setting every Wednesday at 12 noon, and you're invited to our headquarters in Champaign at the Market Square Mall to be a part of that broadcast. People step up to the microphone, and they ask Pastor Jason questions and give some input as well. So it's captured, and then we get to hear it every Friday on Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. and p.m., and then 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.